Hey, podcast listener. Are you working so hard you wonder if the money is even worth it? If you're like most CPAs I work with, you have way too much to do, you feel relentless deadline pressure, and worst of all, you feel torn between serving clients and being with family. What if I told you you could work a 40-hour week without losing a dime? I know it sounds impossible, but my Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is designed for CPAs just like you who want to get their lives back. Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is launching soon. In it, you'll learn how to start getting your time back week by week, make your workload manageable while still bringing in plenty of revenue, what to put in your packages and how to price them, and so much more. Don't leave your future to chance. CPA Mastermind will get you on the sane, profitable path you've been searching for. With unlimited coaching, your success is guaranteed. Go to GeraldineCarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there. Welcome to the Business Strategy for CPAs podcast, where I help overworked CPAs go down to 40 hours, then down to 25 hours without giving up revenue. My name is Geraldine Carter. Today, we are talking about the common characteristics of success that I see across the accountants and CPAs that I've been working with. And we're talking about this so that you know what to focus on, so that you know what matters more and what matters less, so that you know where to put your time and energy on any given day and where not to, because really I want to help you avoid focusing on things that make less of a difference. So how did this topic even come up before I dive in here? This came out of a conversation that happened in Mastermind. Somebody said, you know, you've been working with accountants and CPAs for years. Is there a common secret sauce? What is the thing that the most successful clients that you've worked with, what do they have in common? And I had an intuitive sense of what this might be, but I thought it might be interesting to actually put it down on paper and run a side-by-side comparison across a number of clients. So, of course, I went and created a spreadsheet, and I thought of the 10 clients who had made the most progress toward their own goals, and then went and laid out all of the different aspects of their businesses and what I thought they did especially well or where I thought they might have some weak spots to see if there was any obvious pattern that stood out. And what came out of that exercise was interesting and mostly affirming, because it's all the stuff that I talk about on the podcast. There is no silver bullet. And I want to share with you what I think those common characteristics are so that you know where to put your time and energy and put less time and energy on the things that make less of a difference. So, what are those 10 things? Number one, pricing. Number two, packaging up services. Number three, disengaging clients progressively over time. Number four, niching to create value and to create efficiencies. Number five, standardizing many aspects of your business. Number six, progressively ratcheting down your time intentionally. Number seven, focusing on creating value for clients. Number eight, working as much as possible from a calm headspace. And number nine, adopting a stance of experimentation inside guardrails. So let me dig into those a little bit more deeply. Number one, pricing. Pricing has a whole bunch of aspects to it. In general, the clients who made the most progress toward their goals consistently got their prices up. They also simplified their pricing so that they didn't have all kinds of prices for all kinds of different things. If you are Delta and you have an entire department devoted to pricing, you can have all kinds of prices for all different kinds of things. But most of you are small businesses with a handful of staff and just don't have the luxury of all kinds of prices for all different kinds of things, especially when getting out of the 55-hour week. In order to ratchet down our hours, one of the things that's required is to simplify and standardize and make more things look more like each other. And that includes doing that with pricing. So when it comes to pricing, it also means dealing with legacy clients who might have come in at lower prices, and perhaps you haven't raised prices on them since before COVID. We need to address those things progressively over time so that you're not carrying around a ton of clients who are much lower priced than the clients that you're bringing in off the, on the top. Some people are still working with hourly in their business. So if that's the case, we need to progressively shift off of hourly so that your prices are all up front. And the more that the CPA has clients who are on ACH automatically billed, the less time is spent on any sort of billing activities. So obviously that helps. And then the accountant or the CPA is progressively revisiting prices on the regular, especially for clients who are in high growth mode or have a lot of transaction volume that is changing or fluctuating. Revisiting prices to make sure they are where they need to be is a key piece of this to do well. The second one is packaging services. Now, packaging services doesn't have to be the ultimate endpoint, right? There are two ways to sell things. You can bundle them or you can unbundle them, and they both have their strategic reasons for doing one or doing the other. At the outset, bundling can really be helpful because it simplifies, it can standardize, it can make things a lot easier, it can make things a lot simpler. Certainly, it makes it easier to the buyer to explain what it is that you are selling and what it is that they are getting. It makes it easier for them to choose. So there are strategic reasons for packaging or bundling. Most of my clients who are getting out of the overworking space use packaging for a period of time to simplify and standardize what they are selling and to simplify and standardize operations inside their business. Some of them will move through packaging and they will go on to unbundle, but at the outset, packaging up is really helpful to start standardizing and simplifying things. Number three, disengaging clients. Now, not everybody needs to disengage, but most of the CPAs that come into Mastermind or who I work with one-on-one need to disengage clients. Just today, I was talking to a client who's in Mastermind, and she just went through her client roster and put everybody into A, B, C, D, and E, and F buckets. And it became clear to her that her E and F clients were bogging down her progress and that her next phase was to get rid of more E and F clients, even though she had already moved G and H clients off of her roster. So know that disengaging clients is an ongoing thing. We do much more of it at the outset for the CPA who is really bogged down and overworked and wants to go from something like 250 down to 50 or 250 down to 20 clients. Obviously, there's a lot more disengaging at the beginning, but even when we get to a sort of stable point, there continues to be progressive disengaging. People who hold on to legacy clients, to underpriced clients, to clients they feel guilty about letting go, clients they feel sad about or are going to miss, tend to make slower progress than the accountant who is willing to disengage because they know that when they disengage, it creates openings for better clients that they would enjoy working with more to come in the door. The fourth characteristic is progressive niching. Now, not all of my clients have gotten super ultra hyper niche, but they do move away from being all over the map, from having e-commerce, contractors, service-based, real estate investors, veterinarians, physicians, dentists, cryptocurrency, audit, GovCon, nonprofit, all of it, right? The sort of all over the map of clients is a hindrance to standardization, to systematization, to expertise, to creating value, to driving prices up. So they move in the direction of niching. It doesn't mean that they all necessarily get super hyper niche, but they do move in the direction of niching so that their clients look more and more like each other, which makes everything in their business easier. It makes systems easier, which increases value to the client, which increases prices. Number five is standardizing. As your business grows, it can be easy for things to get done differently for different kinds of people. And so as a consequence, it can happen that you end up with different kinds of systems and different kinds of processes for the same kind of thing. So month-end close, if you have four staff, might get done differently by four different people. If you have multiple staff who onboard, they might have their own style and flavor of doing it. If you have multiple people who run payroll, they might have their own style and flavor of doing it. We need to move out of everybody's got their own style and move into there's one way that we do onboarding. There is one way that we do month-end close. Everybody does it the same way. There's one way that we do payroll and everybody does it the same way. The clients who I've worked with who have made the most progress, they spend time, they invest time to make sure that the processes inside their accounting practice are standardized, especially across different staff. Number six is that they are proactive about getting their time down. Getting time down doesn't just happen. It's not an after effect and it's not an afterthought. It's something that happens proactively by design, by intention. And they say to themselves, okay, if I want to cut 5 hours off of my work week, and they don't cut 20 hours off their work week in one fell swoop, take it 5 hours at a time. If I want to cut 5 hours off my work week, what do I need to do? And they look at their business and they say, okay, where are the places that I am going to get 5 hours back? There are not an infinite number of places to get hours back. You effectively have six options. You're going to disengage, you're going to delegate, you're going to automate, you're going to optimize, you're going to not do it, and you're going to make yourself less necessary. So they look at the list and they ask themselves, which of those places am I going to get my time from? And then they get proactive about ratcheting their hours down. And as they ratchet their hours down, they have more time to think clearly. They have more time to think about the problems that exist in their accounting practice. They have more time to problem solve. They have more time to come up with the solution, implement the solution, test the solution, follow up on the solution, because invariably it never works exactly the way you think it's going to the first time around. So you've got to follow up on it, dial it in, smooth it out until it actually works the way that you want it to. Solving problems in your accounting practice takes time, and you've got to have free time. And if you're always sucked into production, you don't have free time, or you don't have very much free time to solve problems. So they're proactive about ratcheting down their time so that they can solve problems and invest time in making sure that the solution sticks. Number seven is that over time, they reorient how they think about value, and they move away from thinking about work and production. And they think about value creation for clients, and they get in the heads of their clients and they ask, what is it that my client needs? And over time, and when I say time, that's subjective. So we're talking 6, 12, 18 months, sometimes 3 years. The client that I've worked with the longest is probably about 3 years. They get better and better at stepping into the shoes of their clients and looking at the client's business through the client's eyes, and understanding what the client needs and when do they need it, and being steps ahead of the client and thinking about what would be valuable for my client, asking the client, what would be valuable for you? What would make a meaningful difference in your revenue? What would make a meaningful difference in your time? They understand what creates value for clients, and then they fold that back in to their packages and pricing. They get out of work and time and production as the way to make money. Number eight is that they operate from an increasingly calm headspace. When you run a business, when you own a business, when you run an accounting practice, you likely have a lot of demands on you. There can be a lot going on, especially in the early years, the learning curve can be really steep. So it's not uncommon to feel stressed, to feel pressure, to feel in a state of demand and pulled in a bunch of different directions, to feel overwhelmed by everything that's going on, and to sometimes operate from a place of scarcity, not enough time, not enough money. And the thing about operating in a headspace that is stressed or pressure or overwhelm is that we just don't think as clearly, and we tend to leak time and focus to kind of spinning out in our mind rather than actually working on what needs to be working on, which tends to solve the problem and make it better. But sometimes that demand, that stress, that pressure feels so real. And when that happens, when we do that, or when we allow ourselves to get pulled away by that, we end up perpetuating the very challenging situation that we're trying to get out of. I have yet to see anybody operate in a completely calm headspace all of the time. But the more we can get the accountant out of the pressure and the demand headspace, and the more we can get them into a calm, productive, focused headspace, the more progress they make and the more quickly they make it and the easier that progress feels. And one of the results of being in a more calm headspace is number nine, that they are more willing to step into a sort of try and test mentality because things are calm, the business is calm, they know that there's no other shoe that's going to drop, they're not feeling pulled by client fires. When everything is calm in the business, they are more willing to try and test and make small experiments to see what happens, to learn from what happens. And they've gotten out of viewing everything that doesn't go as expected as a failure. Running small controlled experiments inside these guardrails is what helps them accelerate their progress. So I want you to think about these nine common characteristics of success. Number one, pricing well. Number two, packaging your services as a potentially transitory phase to get you through to the other side where you standardize. Number three, disengaging clients to get your workload down to kind of clear out the clutter. Number four, niching to create value and to facilitate standardization. Number five, standardizing processes. Number six, progressively, proactively getting your time down. Number 7, being value focused on behalf of your clients. Number 8, operating as much as you can from a calm headspace. And number 9, stepping into a try it, test it, run controlled experiments kind of mentality, that if you run your business inside these guardrails, these are the fundamentals that you need in order for your accounting practice to be the one that you want. There isn't a single silver bullet, a secret that if you knew it, it would unlock everything. There's also not a playbook. A playbook is what you get when you buy a franchise. A lot of clients come in and they think, just tell me what to do. I just want the playbook. They think they want a playbook, but I don't think you want a playbook, because if you wanted a playbook, you would have bought a franchise, because a franchise comes with a playbook. I think what you want is an accounting firm that's your own, that you design with clients you enjoy working with at prices that you're happy about, doing work that you enjoy that is meaningful and fulfilling, that provides the revenue, the take-home pay that you want, and is inside the hours a week that you want. And if that's the case, there is no playbook that you can go to the bookstore and get for your business. We need to help you write your own playbook. So I give you these 9 characteristics of success to share with you that the clients who I've worked with who have made the most progress, they've either gone the farthest or they've gone the fastest or they've gone the lightest, have done these 9 things well over time. None of them started out with these 9 things all dialed in. Each of these was something that we worked on, that we improved progressively and implemented over time. And as a consequence, we're able to reshape their accounting practice into the very one that they wanted. And then they had their own playbook because they wrote their own playbook. Before I wrap up, it might also be helpful to know what they didn't have and what they didn't do. Places that they didn't focus on were being perfect. They didn't look for perfect prices. They didn't look for perfect niches. They didn't make perfect packages. They didn't seek perfection. They focused on making it good enough for now, good enough so they could implement it, test it, try it, learn from it, rinse, repeat, make it better. They also didn't focus on precision. Precision might be great for accounting, but precision wasn't something that was required for them to make solid progress in their accounting practices. Precision wasn't something that was needed to make progress in their business. They didn't need to have prices that were precise. They didn't need to have a precise niche. They didn't need to be precise about their packages and so on. When it came to their business, close enough was very much good enough. I mentioned getting their time down. They were not working all the time. They got out of working all the time because the less they worked, the more they realized they had time to focus on creating value for clients, and the more they realized they had time to make improvements in the operations of their business. Working all the time can be really tempting. But what got you here working all the time might be the very thing that is in your way of getting there. Working all the time, being busy all the time is one of those things that they needed to get out of the habit of doing. And they stopped being all over the map. Hourly billing supported being all over the map, but they come to realize that there's so much more leverage in efficiency and standardization, the value in niching and pricing. They came to see how much being all over the map wasn't serving them and it was holding them back. And they came to appreciate just how important it was to pare down, pare down, pare down so that they could focus. And the last thing that was not a primary driver was what they sold. Of the clients who I've worked with who have made the most progress, who have moved the fastest, the farthest, the lightest, they all sold different things. Some of them were tax heavy. Others did no tax. Some of them did bookkeeping. Others did no bookkeeping. Some of them had payroll. Others had no payroll. Some of them did high-level CFO work at the $90,000 to $120,000 a year range. Some of them did fractional full-staff accounting. Some of them did fractional controllership type work at the mid-5-figure range. Others did more what you might call advisory work at the sort of early 5-figure range. Others simply did tax strategy and tax planning and didn't do much, if any, month-end close. What they sold was not a driving factor of their success. What mattered was that they knew how to create value for clients and they knew how to price effectively, they knew how to package, and they knew how to standardize their services. When you focus on those things, your revenue goes up and your time to deliver goes down. So the 9 characteristics of success that I saw in common across the accountants and CPAs I've worked with who have made the most progress toward their own goals are pricing, packaging, disengaging clients, niching, standardizing, proactively getting time down, creating value for clients, operating from a calm headspace as much as possible, and trying and testing, running controlled experiments inside these guardrails. So I hope that gives you a sense of where to put your focus, where not to put your focus. When you do this, it's better for your clients, it's better for your accounting practice, and it's better for you and your life on your one trip through space. Have an amazing day, and I'll see you next week. Hi again. Would you rather spend your weekends outside playing or at your desk? In Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind, we put an end to overworking while maintaining revenue. Go to GeraldineCarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there.